Okay, Rabbi Sai. So we're discussing yesterday at the top of Ham and Beis that there's a concept called Chiluk Malachis on Shabbos, that each one of the Lamed Tosafos Malachis is kind of its own definition, its own somewhat separate integrity. If a person violates many of his Malachis in the course of one Hela and one forgetting, so he has to bring 39 different Chatos. If he forgot about Shabbos entirely, he didn't forget just about the Malachas, then he brings one Chatos for the whole Shabbos. But if he forgot about, he knew it was Shabbos, he just didn't know which activities were, so he brings a separate carbon Chatos for each one of the Avos Malachas. So the Rishonim discuss, is that because each one of the Avos Malachas is a separate, Iser, like Basar, like Chelev and Dam, like, or Shatnez and Dam, you know, mamish, two separate things, and therefore you bring two separate chatos, or maybe it's really kind of the same thing, under the same general heading and umbrella, but it's kind of like guvim uchlakim, like a person who violates the Isser of Eshes Ish, Gilei Arayis, with five different women, he brings five different chatos. Not because it's five different Isurim, they're all the same Isser, it's just with five different women in five different instances, and therefore you bring five different chatos. So that's a machlekes that we Rishonim have, a safek Rabbi Nachum Zemba had. How do we view chiluk malachas? Is it gufim muchlakim, a gemara in Yevamos and Daf Sadi Beis, or perhaps it's shemois muchlakim? In the minute, Rabbi Nachum Zemba had three nafkaminas, in terms of minin hamitzvahs, perhaps counting half a shear of one malacha together with half a shear of another malacha, or perhaps if I give hasra, I warn him with one malacha, but really he's violating a separate malacha. Is that like giving hasra with a separate iser? And therefore the Asura is no good, or really they're all kind of the same heading, same Yisurim, just you bring separate Chatos because they're kind of like Gufim Muchlakim. But then maybe a half a shear could be Mitzdarif, maybe they shouldn't be counting the Minyan Mitzvah separately. And we seem to have, these issues seem to be debated or lurking beneath many other issues that are Nogea L'maisa. So it could be, Rabbi Rosenzweig once suggested years ago, I don't know if he printed it somewhere, but I heard it from him, he once suggested perhaps both are correct. And in a certain sense, there's two aspects to Chiluk Malachas. On the one hand, they're kind of like 39 separate Isurim, but at the same time, maybe they're all under one general heading, because there might be really be two reasons that we keep Shabbos, two reasons that we have an Isur Malacha on Shabbos. And it might help us understand why there's no Chiluk Malachas on Yontif. On the end of the Shita Mar Mekamis from yesterday, there was a Gemara Mesechlis Makis and Daf Chaf Aleph. I don't know what I did with mine. A Gemara Mesechlis Makis and Daf Chaf Aleph, that there's no Chiluk Malachas on Yontif. There's Chiluk Malachas on Shabbos, no Chiluk Malachas on Yontif. Meaning, so if a person forgets about Yontif, or he knows it's Yontif, he just forgets that there's an Issa Malacha on Yontif. He thinks Yontif, everything is permitted. And it's not true, of course. Ein ben Shabbos liyantif ala oichal nefesh bovad and mishnah meseftas megillah. The only difference is cooking. All the other malachas are the same, and he violates many malachas. But halamachas, he only brings one carbon chatas for all of them, not for each separate av malacha, each separate category of malacha that he violated. Why? If there's chiluk malachas on Shabbos, why shouldn't there be chiluk malachas on yantif? And ein ben Shabbos liyantif ala oichal nefesh bovad. So why should this concept not extend to Yontif? So Ray Rosenzweig explained, because there's really two reasons that we are shoyves from Malacha on Shabbos. One of them extends to Yontif, and the other one doesn't. And therefore, in a certain sense, each one of the Lamed Tosafos Malachas, in a certain sense, is part of the same Iser. They're all part of the same heading. And that's what, carries over to Yontif. But then there's another aspect of Shabbos where each one of the Avos Malachas is really a separate entity. And that doesn't carry over to Yontif. What is he talking about? He's talking about the following. The Pasuk says in Parashas Kisis in connection with Shabbos, Shabbos is discussed many times in connection with the Mishkan. To teach us perhaps that the Mishkan is not Doicha Shabbos, so it's before the Mishkan, and Parashas Vayako. Again, it's just opposed with the Melech Mishkan, both in Parashas Kisis and Parashas Vayako. So in Parshas Kisisa, in discussing Shabbos, the Pasuk says twice that Shabbos is an ois. First is Shabbos, the Pasuk says, Ach es Shabbos oisai tishmoiru, you should keep my Shabbos, ki ois hi beini uveinechem udoroisechem. This is an ois for generations. It's a sign, a bris, a special, part of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But then, a few psukim later, the Torah says again, beini uvein bnei Yisrael ois hi li'olam. It's a sign, again, an ois. Why does the Torah have to say it twice? So Brisker Rav explains in Sefer HaChumash that it's because there's two aspects to Shabbos. On the one hand, Shabbos, as we know, is Zecher L'maisa Breishis. It reminds us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and therefore we, not reminds us, that's what we're testifying to, by keeping Shabbos, and we do so in reflection, you know, as a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. As the pasuk says in the first set of Luchos, right? Ki sheish es yom asu Hashem shamayim v'yasaretz v'eskol hashabam. The first, 6 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did everything, and then the seventh day, he rested. However, the Torah also says in the second set of Luchos in connection with Shabbos, v'zocharta ki yevra yisa v'yaretz Mitzrayim. We should remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out with the Yad HaChazak HaZor Netuyah, Al-Kain Tzivcha Hashem Aleikech Alasa says Yom HaShabbos. So Shabbos, on the one hand, is Zecher L'maisa Breishis, and at the same time, it's Chila L'mikroi Kodesh, Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. It reminds us of Yetzias Mitzrayim. How does Shabbos remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and what does it have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? We know, we say it in Kiddush, right? Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. What does Shabbos have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? Zeichel Ma'aseh Breishis, I know. What is the Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the Ramban explains in Chumash that what it means is the following, is that the purpose of keeping Shabbos, right, is to testify to the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world and really is a symbol of our Amuna and the Ribono Shel Olam. The problem is, with using this as a source for our Amunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that we weren't there to witness it, not certainly as individuals, but even as a nation, and our national identity and memory doesn't extend all the way back to Ma'aseh Breishis. That's why it says in Chumash, in the Aseres Hadibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us in the mitzvah of Amunah, Asher Hoitzeisichem, Eretz Mitzrayim, I took you out of Mitzrayim. So Kuzari, that's Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, asks, Ibn Ezra quotes it on Chumash, he asks, why do we use as the source of our Amunah the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim? Rabbi Yisai, if we were listing Lahavdil, the resume of the Ribono Shel Olam, he would come to the career center, either in Sai Sims or Yeshiva College. I don't know which one has a better career center. I presume Sai Sims, just because they do most things better. So fine. So they go to the career center, and they sit down, they're making up your first resume, and they ask, okay, what have you done? Well, I created the world. What else have you done? I took the Jews out of Egypt. So which would you put first, Rabbi Yisai? Which would you put? You would put first, I created the world. Why isn't that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's calling card, on his business card? Hello, I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I created the world, by the way. You know, T4. So that's not there. What is there? Oh, I took you out of Mitzrayim. That's nothing compared to creating the world. So the Ibn Ezra asks, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu mention the fact, introduce himself, the fact that he took us out of Mitzrayim, not the fact that he created the world? So Ibn Ezra says, very simple answer, is that we were not there to witness that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us fuel, ammunition in our, in developing our Amunah. And creating the world is helpful, but not really that helpful, because not one was there to witness it. Like, we have to take HaKadosh Baruch Hu at his word. You know, we have the arguments from design. We look at the world. If there's a building, there must have been an architect and a construct, a contractor, and all of these kinds of arguments. But in the end of the day, no one was there to witness it. At the same time, Yetzias Mitzrayim, all of Klal Yisrael, was there. And the Kuzari notes that this is different than the other religions. The other religions have people who performed wonders, perhaps, or they were purported to, but they did so by themselves, without anyone else being there. As opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who revealed himself in the face, in the presence of all of Klal Yisrael as a nation. So the source of our Amunah, says Ibn Ezra, is not from creating the world, it's rather from Yetzias Mitzrayim. So perhaps that's why Shabbos, in a certain sense, is both, because Shabbos encapsulates both, because Shabbos is also, on the one hand, is a day we commemorate the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and we attest to that, but how do we come to that realization? It's only through the medium of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, to the fact that we witnessed the miracles of the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and from that we can extrapolate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one, from the fact that he reasserted his control over the world at the time of the Aseres HaDibros, Eser Makis in Mitzrayim, he also created the world. The Chiddush Yerim says that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought 10 Makis on the Egyptians. It's too early for Pesach Divrei Torah, but that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought 10 Makis. Because how many utterances did it take to create the world? Asara Mamoros. And at the time of, that's the Mishnah at the end of Masechtas Avos, Asara Mamoros, Nivra Olam, the Torah used the word Amira 10 times, connection with the creation of the world, and even though there's only 9, the Mishnah says, Bereshis Nami Maimarhu. Bereshis is the 10th. So there were 10 utterances through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world through speech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world through speech. Through 10 utterances. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu reasserted, he reinformed us that he's the one who created the world through the Eser Makos that he brought in Mitzrayim. So there are really two pieces of information that we're testifying to by keeping Shabbos. So on the one hand, Shabbos is Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. On the other hand, is Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's why Shabbos it stands on its own, but it's really also connected to the other Yomim Tovim, which are also Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's really part of a larger group, like Pesach and Sukkot, you know, and Shavuos, that are all Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. At the same time, Shabbos stands on its own, because it's really Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. Also, so Brisker Rav says that's why the Torah frames Shabbos in a somewhat unusual fashion. We mentioned this a while back. In Parshas Emor, when the Torah tells us about all the Mo'ad, then the Torah says, Eilu Mo'adei Hashem Asher Tikru Asam Mo'adam, and the first Mo'ad, seems like somewhat of a letdown, is Shabbos. Shabbos, that's the first Mo'ad. And then the Torah says another introduction, Eilu Mo'adei Hashem Asher Tikru Asam Mo'adam, and then it begins with Pesach and Chag HaMatzos. So, but why is Shabbos part of the Mo'adim? You know, what's it doing there? And if it is part of the Mo'adim, why do we need a second introduction after Shabbos to move to the other Mo'adim? So Brisker Rav says, because Shabbos, on the one hand, is part of the Mo'adim, it's Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim, by Pesach and Sukkot, but it's also Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis, so somewhat stands alone. And those are the two oisim, the two signs that we have through Shabbos. Shabbos is referred to as an ois twice, once because it's Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. At the same time, it's also Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what the Brisker Rav says. Oh, fantastic. Brisker Rav says that's why the first time the Torah mentions that Shabbos is an ois, it's Beloshon Rabim. Ach es Shabbosai Tishmeru. My Shabbosais you should keep. Why is it Beloshon Rabim? So many say, oh, because if we keep two Shabbos, it's Mashiach will come. No. So Brisker Rav says, no, because it's not referring to Shabbos alone. It's referring to the fact that Shabbos also is the beginning of the Seder HaMo'adim. It's Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim, just like Pesach, just like Sukkot. They're all Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. So all of them, in a certain sense, are a sign, and that's Achas Shabbosai Tishmeru. Shabbos is similar to the other Yom Tovim. At the same time, Shabbos is also Lasos as a Shabbos, right? Shabbos is different than the other Yom Tovim. It's not Beloshin Rabim. The very next pasuk says, no, Lasos is a Shabbos. V'shom Avnei Yisrael Shabbos, Lasos is a Shabbos. You should keep Shabbos. Shabbos stands alone. It's Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. There's not only the comment of the Brisker Rav. The Maral has the Nesiv HaShalom, the Slonimer, says that that's why we say in davening, we say Mekadesh HaShabbos. Right at the end of the Shmoneh Esrei and Shabbos, as opposed to Yontif, we say Mikadosh Yisrael Vazmanim. Why do we mention Yisrael in the Shmoneh Esrei of Yom Tovim and not in Shabbos? Because Shabbos is Kviya V'Kaima, the Gemara says. Yeah. Shabbos comes whether we like it or not. We have nothing to do with the coming about of Shabbos. It's the seventh day of the week. Yontif, we kind of establish Yontif by declaring it as a Rosh Chodesh, and that precipitates the coming of a Yontif. So we're involved in the creation of the day of Yontif. So that's why it's Mekadosh Yisrael Vazmanim, as opposed to Shabbos, it's just Mekadosh HaShabbos. However, we say in davening, not only Mekadosh HaShabbos, but we say, Am Mekadosh Shavi. We're the ones who make it holy. What do you mean, Am Mekadosh Shavi? We're not the ones who make it holy. Shabbos is Kaviyah V'Kaima. Shabbos comes whether we like it or not. So then Siva Shalom says no, because there's two aspects to Shabbos. Shabbos is Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. We have nothing to do with that. That's the seventh day of the week. That comes about because Hashem rested on the seventh day. But Zecher, Shabbos is also connected to the other Yomim Tovim. It's the Rosh. It's the beginning of that Seder of days that are Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. So in a certain sense, Shabbos is like the other Mayadim. In a certain sense, therefore, we contribute, just like in the Yontif, we contribute to the day of the Yontif by declaring as Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos. Also, we can transform the Shabbos to be, into being Shabbos. Shabbos doesn't happen by itself, as anyone knows, right, who's ever observed Shabbos. Some parts of Shabbos happen by themselves, the Isa Malacha. But if you want Shabbos to be meaningful, you want Shabbos to be a spiritual day that's uplifting, you have to invest in Shabbos. It doesn't happen by itself. So there's two aspects of Shabbos. Part of Shabbos happens on its own. That's the Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. Part of Shabbos, we have to invest in Shabbos, right? V'shamru v'nei Yisrael sa Shabbos. That's the Lois Aseis. Lasar says sa Shabbos. But we have to make Shabbos into Shabbos. That's all on our own. That doesn't happen by itself. That's similar in that way to the other Yomim Tovim. There's a fantastic comment from Reb Tzadik HaKohen. He's commenting on he's a whole sefer on the Kedusha of Shabbos. But he's commenting on the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, where the Torah comments on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Lodas ki ani Hashem HaKadoshkem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Shabbos, so you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Made us holy. Why does it have to say, Lodas ki ani Hashem HaKadoshkem? So the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that when a person gives a matana to his friend, you have to let him know, I gave you a present. You shouldn't drop off a present anonymously and, he won't even know that it's there. You're supposed to let him know. You can do it anonymously, but you should let him know I dropped off a present for you, or someone dropped off a present for you, you're getting a present. You should know about it. Whoever gives a matana to his friend, sarach lo yodio. So the Gemara says, boy, really? But Moshe Rabbeinu, when he descended from Maimon Har Sinai, the Pasuk says, v'yado Moshe ki karan or panav. Moshe Rabbeinu did not know that his face was glowing until Klai Yisrael all of a sudden was intimidated by Moshe Rabbeinu. They had to step back. Then he knew that his face was glowing. So, said Frechtig Markasha, I thought whoever knows him, Atan Lachaver, Tzach Leidio, you give your friend the present, you have to let him know. Why didn't Kadosh Baruch Hu let Moshe Rabbeinu know that his face was glowing? So Gemara says, no, because there was a milsa davidi legluye. Moshe Rabbeinu was inevitably going to realize that his face was glowing because everyone was going to react to it. Okay. Shabbos, not necessarily so. So Kadosh Baruch Hu therefore had to tell us about the Matan of Shabbos. So if Tzadik says, you see, for me, it's something astounding. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a present of Shabbos, and he told us about it. Why did he tell us about it? Because you wouldn't necessarily know there was a present of Shabbos, right? Despite Joel Lieberman's book about the beauty of Shabbos. You might never know that there was a present of Shabbos. We could go through many Shabbos and not realize the great gift of Shabbos because a person doesn't invest in Shabbos. He doesn't realize it's more than just a list of do's and don'ts. It's much more that goes into the spiritual character of Shabbos that we have to invest in it. So that, therefore, that Shabbos, you have to let people know, because unfortunately many people go through their whole lives keeping Shabbos and never really experiencing a Shabbos because they never understood that you have to invest in Shabbos. So Shabbos has these two aspects to it. On the one hand, it's Zeichel Maaseh Breishis, that happens all on its own. At the same time, it's Am Mekadesh Shivi, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is similar to the other Yomim Tovim. Shabbos is part of the list of the Yomim Tovim. It's somewhat set off of it. It's the beginning of the Parshas HaMoladim, but it's also two introductions. It's part and not part of the other Yomim Tovim. So Rabbi Rosenzweig, in this context, suggested that perhaps the Issa Malacha that carries over from Shabbos to Yom Tov is not the Zeichel Maaseh Breishis. And if one is discussing Zeichel Maaseh Breishis, then each one of the 39 Avos Malachos of Shabbos perhaps stands out somewhat differently. These are the activities, perhaps, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, that were a significant activity that Kadosh Baruch Hu refrained from, Kivi Yochol, whatever that means, right, on the seventh day. So those are the same things that we refrain from, on Shabbos. And in that sense, each significant creative activity has its own integrity, has its own definition, its own quality and identity. However, the Issa Malacha that is of Shabbos, that extends to Yom Tov, is just in terms of creating a holy day. You know, if a person is going to be involved in his activities throughout the week, then that's not really a holy day. In order to separate it, in order to distance ourselves from the muck of the rest of the week, we have to refrain from doing some of the creative actions that we do throughout the week. So in terms of that, you know, then all of the malachos really blend in to develop a character, a quality of the day. It's not that each Issa Malacha stands on its own. It's what each one contributes to the larger whole of a Yom Kadosh. And how do we know what a Yom Kadosh is? Zekeli Yetzias Mitzrayim, we look to Shabbos. Shabbos is the model of a Yom Kadosh. So Shabbos stands at the beginning of the Parshas HaMoradim. Somewhat set off, because it's Zekeli Maaseh Breishis, which doesn't apply to the other Yom Tovim, but it really is part of them. It's also Zekeli Yetzias Mitzrayim. We look to Yetzias Mitzrayim to understand what the Ribbono Shel Olam is and why we're resting on the seventh day. And Shabbos also sets the tone for the other Yom Tovim that are all Zekeli Yetzias Mitzrayim. But there, Chiluk Malachos doesn't really make sense. To view each one as a separate line item with its own identity, its own character, it doesn't make sense. We're not resting on Shabbos, as it were, you know, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, because of the 39, you know, because of the activities Hashem refrained from the seventh day. It's what the message of the day is, that we're affirming our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then all of the 39 Avos Malachos kind of blend in together to be one. And that's why there's Chiluk Malachos on Shabbos, but no Chiluk Malachos on Yom Tov, because that's not what Yom Tov is about. Yom Tov is not about testing to the fact that Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. It's creating a Yom Kadosh. It's derived from Shabbos, but not that aspect of Shabbos which, you know, each one of the Avos Malachos stands out on its own. It's what it contributes to the larger whole. Okay, so Rabbi said, that's Chiluk Malachos. Applies to Shabbos, doesn't apply to Yom Tov. We discussed a few different ways of looking at it. Okay, Rabbi, so let's carry on over here. Where are we? Five lines down on Ham Mibes. We're not going to read the whole Gemara over here together. We could, but it'll just take us a while. It's a lot of nitty-gritty. And at the end of the day, what emerges is the following. Okay, we'll read the first few lines, and then we'll see where it takes us. So the Brisa says, Shivas Yamim Sogoi Matzei B'Vaseifim. Right? We know there's two Isurim with regards to owning Chametz on Pesach. One is Sa'ar Lo Yimatzei B'Vaseifim. The other is Lo Yira Lecha Sa'ar B'Chol Gvulecha. You're not allowed to have it be found in your house. You're not allowed to see it. On Yantif, then we had the third pasuk, which was the mitzvah saseh of Ach B'Yom Arishon Tashbisa Sar Mi Boteichem. we discussed what its relationship is with the two primary Isurim, Bal Yiroa, Bal Yimotzei. But in the terms of interpreting these psukim and their, you know, why do I need both? And what does each one contribute? So the Gemara says the following. Lo yira lecha sa'ar b'chol gvulecha. Really, should have only applied lo yira lecha sa'ar shalcha iat haroya. Aval at haroya shal acherim v'shal gavoya. You should have been able to see the sa'ar that belongs to others or belongs to Hekdish. It should only apply to sa'ar that belongs to you. So now, what does that mean? That means in theory, right? If with the pasuk all by itself, lo yira lecha sa'ar b'chol gvulecha, only means you shouldn't see your chametz on Pesach. So then, let's say I take my chametz and I hide it. Bal yatmin, I hide it in my house and no one sees it. It's, you know, you're not going to see it. Or I have chametz in my house that doesn't belong to me. It belongs lacherim or shel hekdish. So in theory, all of that should have been allowed. So that's why the Gemara says we need a second pasuk of Sa'ar lo yimotzei b'vaseichem, no, it shouldn't be found in your house. So even if it's yours and you hid it, it's still a problem because it can be found. If I'll search for it, I'll be able to find it. And it also comes to include, not only can you not have chametz that belongs to you hidden somewhere in your house, you know, out of sight, it's not out of sight, out of mind, now it's a problem because of Sa'ar lo yimotzei. Even if there's chametz in your house that does not belong to you, but at least you were makabel achrayas for it. You accepted responsibility for it. Now you are responsible for it on Pesach. So that's why we needed the second pasuk. The Gemara takes the Gemara whole amud to derive those two inclusions, but that's what I get out of the second pasuk. One pasuk, lo yira lecha, means you can't have chametz that you own. Chametz that would have owned, you know, been owned by others should have been okay. Because it's lo yira lecha, shalcha yatara, tara shalcherim. And Sa'ar lo yimotzei comes to include chametz that belongs to others that I was mekabel achrayus for it. And it also comes to include my own chametz that I don't see, that perhaps I hid somewhere else. Bal yatmin is included as well. Rashi, in this context, in terms of interpreting the pasuk of lo yira lecha, that shalcha yatara v'atara shalcherim, you're allowed to see the chametz of others. When is it also because of Sa'ar lo yimotzei b'vaseichem if I was mekabel achrayus? But if I wasn't mekabel achrayus, it sounds like it's permitted. Right, so can I see the chametz of somebody else that I have no responsibility for it on Pesach? The answer is yes. That's included in neither pasuk. So although you might say means it can't be in your house in the, if you were makabel achrayis, if I accept the responsibility, and lo yira lecha sa'ar means you're not allowed to see it, but lecha shalcha yatara v'tara shalchem, it has to belong to you. So if I have chametz that neither belongs to me nor did I accept responsibility for it, should have been allowed. So in theory, yes, it should have been allowed. However, the problem is, Rashi says, in Divrei HaMaskil, v'fi shenemar v'lo yira lecha, I'd say about 40% of the way down in the Rashi. Rashi says, v'fi shenemar v'lo yira lecha, d'mi dekasiv lecha, mashma mina shalcha iat haroi. You can't see yours, because the pasuk says, v'lo yira lecha, shalcha iat haroi, tavar shalchem. But then Rashi says, v'al taroi abigvulein shalacherim. You can see chametz of others, right? Okay, fine. Kegoin, nachri, if it's owned by a non-Jew, v'shal gavoya, or it's owned by hekdish. Emekdishim lebeta kabayis. What about chametz that's owned by another Jew? Rashi doesn't say. Now, you could have said, well, what kind, we're talking about achshadara, all the Jews are shomer Torah and mitzvahs. What kind of Jew keeps chametz on Pesach? It's mamash not matzah, there isn't such a thing. So Rashi's this deeper accustomed behavior, the Torah's discussing, you know, Rashi's discussing when it's a normal case that all Jews, Rashi was, you know, not shomer Torah mitzvahs yet type person, you know, not religious yet. So he was always hoping every Jew was going to come back to Torah and mitzvah. So what kind of Jew is going to keep chametz over Pesach? Must be. We're discussing chametz that it belongs to a non-Jew, or chametz that belongs to Hekdesh. However, that's not the way the Pnei Yeshua understood Rashi. Pnei Yeshua over here, Rabbi, understands Rashi to be saying a huge chiddush. That according to Rashi, look over here, Oysalaf on the sheet of Mar Makarnis from today, Kfar Kasavti Gael, we'll get to where he said this earlier, Vesuga Damaskir, the Mashmi Loshan Rashi Khan, Da Taraya Shalachim, Hanu Davka Ivy Kerchavim. You can only see the chametz of Ivy Kerchavim. Masha Enkin Shal Yisrael. You cannot see the chametz that belongs to another Jew who retained his chametz Bisar on Pesach, Ia Taraya Av Shalachim, Afilu Lo Kibo Achrayas. You see, if I'm a Kabo Achrayas, it applies even to chametz that belongs to a non Jew. However, if I'm not Makabo Achrayas, it's not mine, it's yours. And I wasn't a Kabbalah Christ. All we include from Sarali Marsev Vasekim is my own Karmates, even if I can't see it. Or your Karmates, if I was a Kabbalah Christ, I accept the responsibility for it. You know, if I get lost, I'll have to replace it. What about Karmates that doesn't belong to me and I'm not a Kabbalah Christ? That should have been allowed. But yet Rashi here says it's only if it belongs to a non-Jew. If it belongs to a Jew, then all Jews are on the hook. I don't know, is this related to Kol Yisrael Ravim Zevazeh? Maybe. Or maybe it just means the Torah only excluded non-Jewish chametz. Jewish chametz is somehow different. I'm not sure if this is based on Kol Yisrael Revim Zebazeh or not. Lav Davka that it is. That maybe this is the only thing that was excluded was non-Jewish chametz. If it's Jewish chametz, that's a problem for everyone. And this was perhaps the basis for Rashi earlier. Da'alam Adalaf, as the Pnei Yeshua mentioned. Rabbi said we mentioned this. Briefly, we were learning the Gemara Daled Amud Aleph. The Gemara asks in Daf Daled Amud Aleph, if a person rents his house to a tenant, the Gemara asks, who has to do Bedikas Chametz? Who has to do Bedikas Chametz? Hamaskir, where is this Gemara Daled Amud Aleph? Gemara is a Shaila. Yiboylehu. Where is it? Yibol mi name Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Hamaskir lechaveru bar ba'osar almi livdoik. Our masker livdoik. Is it on the masker to check? The chamir didehu. The landlord is the one who has to check because the maisa belongs to him. It's on the tenant to check. The isur b'shuzekai. Because the isur is in his rishus. So Rashi there said that of course we're talking about that he did bito chametz. Rashi says, he was probably Mavato's Chametz. The Shiloh over here is, where did Chazal lay the obligation of Bedikas Chametz? On the one who actually owns the Chametz? Or on the one who has the Chametz in his house? Why would you put it on the guy who has the Chametz in his house? So we explained at the time because there's two parts to ownership. One is possession, the other is I own it monetarily. What the Gemara refers to as shaloi and bershusoi. If a ganav steals an item, he cannot legally be donated to Hekdish, even though it would be unethical to do so anyway for Hekdish to accept it. But let's say they wouldn't know, and the ganav steals something, dedicates it to Hekdish, he cannot do it. Zeh sheinu shaloi, the ganav it doesn't belong to. And even the owner at that point, once it's no longer found, he can't dedicate it to Hekdish because zeh sheinu bershusoi. There's two parts to ownership. Shaloi and bershusoi, we have an American law, tu lahavdio. Possession is 9/10 of the law, but there is another tenth. What is the other tenth? If it belongs to you in paper, right? If you have the deed. So possession and actual ownership. Shaloi and Bershusai. So the Shiloh over here is, where did Chazal lay the obligation of Bedikas Chametz? On the landlord, who owns the Chametz, or on the tenant, the one who has the Chametz, Bershusai. Why in the world would we have a tzad to lay the obligation of Bedikas Chametz at the feet of the tenant? It's not his Chametz. So Rabbi Chanan explained, we saw this at the time over here, Ois Beis in the sheet from today, Kasha, the Lepelish Rashi, if the whole reason, according to Rashi, for Bedikas Chametz, is not because I might stumble across the Chametz and eat it on Pesach, in which case it makes sense to put it on the tenant. He's the one who actually might eat the cupcake, not on the owner. According to Rashi, on Beis Amud Aleph and Mesechtos Pesachim, the purpose of Bedikas Chametz is to avoid Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzei. I gotta get it out of my ass, I have to check my ass to avoid Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzei. Why in the world would it be on the tenant? He's not the one who owns the Chametz, it's the landlord. So Rabbi Chanan explained, because according to Rashi, and this happens to be the opinion of the Vilna Gaon as well, that's the Pnei Yehoshua here too, when you have Chametz that's Jewish Chametz, everyone violates Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzei, not only the paper owner, even the one who has it in his Rishus. Normally, we don't burden my neighbor to check my house. It's my responsibility because it's in my house. How can I ask my neighbor to come and check my house? Even though Jewish chametz is all of our problem. I don't know if it's Kol Yisrael Ravim Zebazeh. Maybe it's local to Hilchos Pesach. But Jewish chametz is the enemy of all Jews once Pesach comes. So therefore, everyone has an obligation to buy your rabbi matzah. Now, normally, I don't have to go into your house and check your chametz, you know, because it's in your rishus. But if it finds its way into my rishus, I rent an apartment, and now it hasn't been checked, I might actually have the obligation to check because it is birshusi. So maybe normally it's on the owner, and here too it's the owner. Or maybe we should say, no, it should be on the tenant, because lamaisa, it's in his rishus. He has the other part of the ownership puzzle over here, birshusi. So maybe he should be the one to check. So according to Rashi over there as well, you see that the Jewish chametz is a problem for everyone, not only a problem just for the owner. And that's why over here as well, Rashi seemed to imply that if you have Jewish chametz, not only the owner will have a problem by Rabbi Matzei, but anybody else also who has it in their rishus wouldn't be allowed to see it. If it's not in my rishus, I don't think so, but if it's in my rishus, I wouldn't be allowed to see it. Even though I wasn't mekabel achrayus, even though I didn't accept responsibility, I have no financial obligation over here. Okay, Rabbi, so there's a few other wrinkles over here in the sugya about the chametz that's not mine, that I'm mekabel achrayus. What kind of level of achrayus do we need? And then we'll get into a few other details with that, and Mir Tzishem will go on in the Gemara. Yeah, okay. All right, Rabbi, say shkoyach, yeah?